Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Gabriel Shipton, half-brother of Julian Assange, joins the program for a very compelling update on how his brother is doing. We also have Gordon Chang, who updates us on China, how China is at war with the West. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. This Saturday is America Fest. Go to amfest.com, promo code Charlie. That is amfest.com, promo code Charlie, amfest.com, amfest.com. We have the biggest speakers in the whole movement. Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bet David, Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Tulsi Gabbard, Ted Cruz, Dennis Prager. You guys can see the list at amfest.com, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests, Gordon Chang. We have to have him on more and more. China is Going to War. That is the name of his book by Gordon Chang. Gordon, welcome to the program. A really unreported story is following Xi Jinping, the dictator's visit to America when we clean up the streets of San Francisco, China is waging a seemingly relentless cyber war on the West, invading critical U.S. services. What's going on here?
Yeah, China for decades has maintained this hacking campaign. And in the beginning, it was really for espionage and data theft. But recently, there has been a change in focus. Really, what they're going after now is critical infrastructure. So, for instance, China has gotten into oil and gas pipelines, gotten into major ports, water systems. China's hacker friends, Russia and Iran, have also had their way with our networks. Some people think that China actually caused the 2003 Northeast blackout and one in Florida in 2008. There's disagreement about that. But the point is that our infrastructure is wide open. And here's a story that basically American presidents have not protected our critical infrastructure. So a lot of this is on us.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's a lot of psychology that goes into this. The only explanation I could have is, why do we put up with this? Is it self-hatred? Is it compromised? Is it that our elites are captured by the Chinese Communist Party? Because no serious country would allow themselves to be hacked and to be attacked and to be constantly subverted. How do you explain this as an expert on the Chinese Communist Party? I mean, why do we allow ourselves to get subverted without any form of retribution?
Yeah, I can't answer that. Here's an example, which I think perfectly illustrates what you're talking about. I think it was 2018, President Trump issued an executive order barring the importation into the United States of electrical grid equipment from China. And he was worried about the hacking threat. So what did President Biden do on his very first day in office, even before he went to the inaugural balls? He went to the Oval Office and he signed an executive order that repealed President Trump's ban. Now, I don't know what's going on there. I can only come up with sort of sinister explanations for it. But the point is that Biden has left our grid open to Chinese hacking. And there was no protections put in place when Biden did this.
Yeah, it just the retribution that needs to happen. What would it look like? How can we possibly respond?
First of all, what we need to do is impose costs on China, Iran, Russia when they hack our infrastructure. And those costs can be hacking back, but I don't want to really disclose our capabilities because we need those at a time of war. But we can impose economic costs on China, which are heavy, and which means that we've got to make sure that the costs that we impose are greater than the benefits that China receives. So, for instance, China hacked the Office of Personnel Management and obtained records of millions, I think it's millions, at least hundreds of thousands of federal employees. And really what there's you can't actually translate that into an economic cost. But what we need to say to China is we're putting tariffs, 1,000% tariffs on the goods that you want to send to the United States, and which basically is going to be very hard for you to sell elsewhere. We do something like that, maybe we can give Beijing second thoughts. But right now, we're not doing that.
So I want to get deeper into this. Talk about your book here, China is Going to War. Do you think they're already at war right now?
Yes. And the reason is China has a different conception of war. When we think of war, we think of militaries clashing. But China has this doctrine of unrestricted warfare. That comes from the title of a 1999 book by then two Chinese Air Force colonels who basically say anything can be done to the United States to destroy it. That is all fair game. And so, for instance, they talk about tactics that we think are out of bounds, but they are doing it. Fentanyl, for instance, that is an unrestricted warfare tactic. China knows what's going on. The Communist Party approves of this. They support the fentanyl gangs. And last year, according to preliminary CDC numbers, 70,000 Americans died from doses of illegal fentanyl. And almost all that illegal fentanyl came from China. So that's really an intention to kill Americans as part of this unrestricted warfare campaign.
Yeah. So what I don't think most Americans are willing to acknowledge is that we are up against an enemy of the Chinese Communist Party that has ambitions and goals. What are the stated goals of the Chinese Communist Party for world domination? There's a fair amount of rumor. What have they said? No theory. What have they actually told us their goals are?
Xi Jinping for this century has been recycling what are Tianxia. Tianxia is all under heaven. He's been cycling those themes from the Chinese imperial era, where Chinese emperors believed that they not only had the mandate of heaven to rule Tianxia, but that heaven actually compelled them to do so. So we've seen this language. His subordinates have been explicit about what China's goals are. So for instance, Wang Yi, his foreign minister, wrote a landmark article in September 2017 that expound upon Tianxia. And Chinese officials in 2017 said that the moon and Mars should be considered sovereign Chinese territory. So they've been clear about that. And this is in public. Yes, there's a lot of propaganda which says, we need everybody get along and everyone should be treated equal. But when you look at their writings and you look at the themes that they use in their public speeches, it's clear that they have gone back to this notion of all under heaven. And by the way, Charlie, this is not domination. This is not hegemony. This is outright rule. One world, one ruler.
One world, one ruler. I mean, the implication then is ethnic cleansing, isn't it? I mean, because they do believe that not anybody can become Chinese, right? I mean, what role
Absolutely.
Does race play in this?
The Communist Party officially has this doctrine of Han nationalism. Han is one of the 56 ethnic groups, comprises about 92% of the Chinese population, which justifies, for instance, what they're doing in to the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs and the other Turkic minorities. So they're very clear about that. There is a reported secret speech of the then Chinese defense minister, Chu Haotan, from the first couple of years of this century, which talks about the use of disease to exterminate Americans because China needed the land for themselves. And General Chu, who was defense minister, said, well, maybe we'll leave some Americans to be as slaves. But and people question whether this speech actually occurred. I think it actually did. But one thing we know, Charlie, and that is in China's tightly controlled media, the topic of extermination of Americans is permitted. So that shows you, that is an indication that General Chur actually gave that speech.
Do you think your average, if you were just to kind of do a blind, you know, lottery, and your average politician in D.C. grasps the goals, the aims, the ambitions, and the nastiness of the Chinese Communist Party?
No.
Well, there you go. What percentage do you think actually does?
1%, maybe 2%. You know, I think Chairman Mike Gallagher of the CCP committee in the House, he probably gets it. There are a few who do, but very, very few do. And the problem is across the political spectrum. You have conservative Republicans and Marxist Democrats actually propagate Chinese Communist Party propaganda. They don't intentionally do it, but they support the party's goals when you look at their positions. So, yeah, it's a disease across the political spectrum, across the parties.
Check out his book. I mean, Gordon, we might have to change the title. China is at war, but China is going to war is actually just as correct. With the world quickly descending into chaos, the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option. It's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in. From something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID, to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, and more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the use of these life-saving medications. The Wellness Company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, and Dr. Robert Seek, and more, are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order this kit, which I use and I have ready at disposal, everybody, I'm not here to give medical advice, but it is the gold standard, twc.health/charlie. That is twc.health/charlie. Enter promo code CHARLIE for 10% off. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, Z-Pak, and more. The Wellness Company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals. You could trust their medical emergency kits. They are the gold standard to keep you safe. Again, that is twc.health/charlie. Promo code CHARLIE for 10% off. See site for details. Prescription may be required. Again, ivermectin, emergency antibiotics. There's all sorts of nonsense going around right now. COVID, RSV, flu. Go to twc.health/charlie. Promo code CHARLIE. Wellness Company and their doctors. Check it out. See site for details. Gordon, what do we know about the Chinese nationals that are crossing the southern border? Are they being sent by the Chinese Communist Party government? Or are these people that happen to slip through? And it's very strange. I mean, I would imagine in a totalitarian, centrally planned country that's trying to take over the world, that you just don't magically have tens of thousands of young, kind of fertile men that go across the southern border of the country you're trying to destabilize. Are they being sent by the Chinese Communist Party?
I think they are. When we go back a year or so ago, there was a surge of Chinese migrants, and we saw families coming across. And those, I think, were people who were desperate, who basically gave up on China. Recently, we're just seeing young men, military age, coming in packs of 5 to 15, no family members with them, pretending not to speak English. And U.S. Border Patrol actually knows some of them have links to the Chinese military. So this is really, really suspicious. And Charlie, remember that lab in Reedley, California, that authorities found, that secret Chinese biological weapons facility? Well, it had at least 20 pathogens, including things like Ebola, and had almost 1,000 mice that had been genetically engineered to spread disease. So we got to be extremely concerned that some of those males coming across were meant to go to facilities like the one in Reedley. And I can't believe Reedley's the only one. And take some of those mice and spread them around the United States. So, yes, all the indications are some of those are saboteurs.
Yeah. And so I just, from a Chinese perspective, Gordon, can you tell me what they think about us? I mean, they must think we're some sort of a joke at this point, that how easy this is to weaken us. Am I correct?
I think you are correct on that, and that's really the concern. Deterrence is breaking down. And we know this from, for instance, what's going on in the South China Sea, where the Chinese are just ignoring written and oral warnings that the United States is willing to use force against belligerent Chinese activities. So we know deterrence is breaking down. I think that they look at the Biden administration and believe they can do what they want. You know, before, after Biden was elected, but before he took office on November 28th, 2020, there was a live stream lecture by a guy named Di Dongsheng, a prominent academic in China. And he was talking about the relations that Beijing was expecting with the new Biden team in the White House. And they were saying they basically they were going to do what they wanted after Biden took office. And by the way, the biggest laugh that that he got was when he mentioned two words in English, Hunter Biden. So that shows you the mentality of the Chinese leaders right now.
So what can be done if, let's say, Trump becomes president to fight back against this soft, slow motion war? Is it tariffs? Is it aircraft carrier in the South China Sea? Where are the greatest vectors of weakness, attack vectors against the Chinese Communist Party?
That's the Chinese economy, which means that what we need to do is cut trade, cut investment, tariffs, as you mentioned. Those tariffs were meant to be remedies for the theft of intellectual property. China's continuing to steal it. Those tariffs need to go up. There's a lot of things that we can do, but I'd hit their economy first.
And the problem, though, Gordon, every time we try to hit their economy, there's a small subset of people that are invested in capital flows in the West and tech companies that don't like that.
They don't. But, you know, on the other hand, Xi Jinping has been pushing American companies out of China. So he's been doing our job for us. But we need to accelerate that process. And that's what President Trump did when he was in office. And Biden has been dog whistling the opposite. So that's wrong on the part of the current president.
Gordon, thank you so much. China's going to war. We'll have you on again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Excellent. Hey, everybody. Our friends at Hillsdale College want to wish you a happy Christmas and healthy, prosperous New Year. Since Hillsdale's founding in 1844, it's taught its students by precept and example the teachings and practices of the Christian faith. The college continues this mission in its classrooms and nationwide through its educational outreach efforts. Hillsdale College is free to pursue learning, character, faith, and freedom in all they do because supporters like you allow them to refuse every penny of taxpayer money, even indirectly in the form of federal grants and loans. So this Christmas season, my friends at Hillsdale want to thank you, dear listener, for your kindness towards the college. They prepared a special video featuring their sacred music choir singing O Little Town of Bethlehem in their beautiful Christ Chapel at the heart of campus. You could also take their online courses. They have courses about Winston Churchill, American history, Aristotle, Euclidean geometry. Also, the Victor Davis Hanson citizenship class is amazing. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com and hear the choir and view many other free resources to help you celebrate the season. I promise it will be uplifting and inspiring for you. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. You know, we're told that Julian Assange is a threat to the West. It's amazing how long the story has gone on. And as the years gone by, I more and more sympathize with Julian Assange. I think it's important for us to kind of just remind ourselves of this entire story. In fact, there was this article here, I think in The Intercept or The Spectator, that says that the United States might extradite. Yeah, The Intercept. Julian Assange could face extradition to the United States by early 2024. So what's really going on here? Well, joining us is Gabriel Shipton from Australia, producer of a movie, Ithaca, and also the brother of Julian Assange. Gabriel, thank you so much for taking time to join us. Please just educate our audience on the situation regarding your brother, and also for our younger listeners that haven't lived through this 11-year story, walk through the facts here and what your brother is accused of.
Well, Julian, back in 2010, published, well, you know, if you go back to 2006 when he started what was a website called WikiLeaks, for people who don't know about it, it was a website for leaks that collaborated with publishers and published leaked material. They published all sorts of things, you know, leaked material from Syria, from Russia, from China, and from the US. But they really came to the forefront in 2010 when they started publishing information about the Iraq War, about Guantanamo Bay, the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. All this information was related to leaks from Chelsea Manning, who was a military analyst. And it was after publishing that information that Julian started to be pursued. And that information really, I think, you know, changed the game in terms of, you know, what was happening in the Iraq war. It sort of exposed what was going on the ground, a war that everybody was told that was going extremely well and a very successful war, but the reality was the complete opposite. So that information led to the end of the Iraq war or end of troops being present in Iraq. And it was since that time that Julian began to be pursued. You know, first he took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he spent 7 years inside that embassy. And in 2019, he was taken from that embassy, arrested, and has spent the last four and a half years in a maximum security prison outside of London, fighting extradition to the United States, where he's charged under the Espionage Act. And now this Espionage Act prosecution is the first of its kind. The first time the Espionage Act has been used against a publisher, against a website for publishing leaked information. Usually it's used against leakers. So, you know, Chelsea Manning, who leaked the information that Julian is charged with publishing, she was sentenced to 35 years under the Espionage Act and had her sentence commuted by Barack Obama in 2017. So she's been free since 2017, while Julian has still been languishing in prison. But since those publishing that information in 2010, WikiLeaks also published lots of information during the 2016 election. They published troves of the DNC emails, the Podesta emails, Hillary Clinton's private emails as well, that really showed the corruption inside the Democratic National Committee and how the Hillary Clinton campaign was conspiring against Bernie Sanders to win the Democratic nomination. And so that drew the ire of Democrats when WikiLeaks published that information in 2016, because a lot of them don't like to, you know, they don't accept that Hillary Clinton failed in that election, and they like to blame other people. And Julian is one of the scapegoats for that election loss for the Democrats. In 2017, WikiLeaks went on to publish a Vault 7 leaks. Now, those leaks were the CIA hacking tools, and how the CIA had developed these hacking tools to hack into phones, to hack into televisions, and turn those phones, televisions into spying devices. You know, what Snowden exposed in 2014 with the NSA and how they were spying on millions of Americans, Julian and WikiLeaks exposed similar efforts from within the CIA, that the CIA was actually doing very, very, very similar things and spying on Americans, spying on world leaders, as the NSA, you know, had been exposed for doing back with the Snowden leaks. And it was really around that time, that 2017 time, when Mike Pompeo was the head of the CIA director, and he really made it his personal vendetta, really, against Julian for publishing that information, for embarrassing Mike Pompeo while he was the head of CIA. And so in his first speech, he declared WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence service and said that they were going to use the full power of the tools available to them to pursue WikiLeaks. And that's when this current indictment started to be worked on, and really when things ramped up in the pursuit of Julian Assange. And it was during that time that Julian was in the embassy between 2017 and 2019 when he was taken, that it was revealed in these leaked documents and leaked information that the CIA had been clandestinely spying on Julian while he was in the embassy, taking video recordings of his meetings with his lawyers and doctors, and that there are even plans from within the CIA, plans from within the CIA to actually assassinate Edelman while he was in the embassy. And that was revealed in a huge Yahoo News investigation that was published in 2021, the end of 2021, that quoted all these sources from the intelligence community, current and former sources, who confirmed that Mike Pompeo had, been planning to murder Julian Assange.
So that was very helpful, Gabriel. Thank you. And so the ferocity that the intel agencies have thrown after Julian Assange is remarkable. How is what he did any different than just what an average mainstream reporter has done? Isn't this the work of journalism? And is there any instances, a single instance, that somebody's life was put in jeopardy or that, let's just say, extreme national security was put at risk because of his journalism?
Well, there's been many investigations about lives being put at risk or lives in jeopardy or anyone coming to harm from this leaked information. And well, if you go back to Chelsea Manning's trial, the Obama administration hired an ex-general to actually look into this and try and find somebody who'd been harmed by these leaks. And they spent $10 million investigating and searching for anyone who'd come to any harm in relation to Chelsea Manning's leaks, and they couldn't find anyone. And so that was revealed in those court proceedings. And also, Julian's prosecutors in London, the prosecutors who are working for the DOJ, have also admitted that, they cannot find anybody who's come to harm in relation to these leaks. It's actually the opposite. These leaks have led to, increased transparency about what the military industrial complex, and in these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and really putting service people and service members in harm's way for their own benefit. And so that has been revealed in these leaks, and as a result has meant that less soldiers and less service people have been sent to these dangerous war zones. So I would argue that, Julian's work and Chelsea Manning's leaks have actually saved lives rather than put them, in harm's way. And, you say, is what Julian did, normal journalism or just what journalists do every day? I think, Charlie, it's what, we expect, we as, citizens or what Americans expect journalists to do, is tell the truth, reveal government corruption, and shine a light, on these dark places. I think that is exactly what Julian did. It is proper journalism. What you and I understand as journalism, what the average person on the street understands as journalism. And what Julian did by doing that was embarrass these legacy media institutions like the New York Times, like the Washington Post, who were complicit in selling, the Iraq war, this great lie that they pushed forward, the weapons of mass destruction lie that they pushed forward in selling the Iraq war to the American public. Julian exposed them as well for what they were doing and what they were up to, which was essentially lying to us all and convincing us that these wrong policies were the right way to go. So I think, it is what Julian did is the essence of journalism and what these other legacy media corporations and things are up to is anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, the more I learn about it, the more sympathetic I am to Julian's cause and to see how they've tried to torture him in this insane process over 11 years is so unacceptable to Western traditions of due process and the rule of law and the equal application of justice. I mean, it feels like they're torturing him the way that they are because of who he exposed, not because of what he did. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I certainly do. I think there is this very vindictive elements, who have been pursuing Julian for many, many years and who would actually like to see him dead, in fact. And I think that example that has been set now is that if you do this, if you publish this information about us, about what we get up to behind closed doors, that this will happen to you as well. And that's a very clear message that is heard around the world. You know, if you do this, look exactly what's happening to Julian Assange. It could happen to you too.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, and you guys can fact check on me. You guys can fact check me. Google and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen and combined with many other essential vitamins to boost your body's cellular function. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since you used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. Dr. Mark Ahern said, quote, amazing product, has helped my patients, myself, tremendously. My energy feels like I'm in my 20s again. I love this product. It's Strong Cell. You guys can look up the science, NADH. NAD is the life force that rebuilds your mitochondria. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie, or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use Charlie discount at checkout to get 20% off your order. You guys have got to check it out right now. NADH with collagen, that combination is amazing. It promotes longevity. It helps with immune system, mental clarity. So check it out right now. It's called 888-596-0155 or check out strongcell.com/Charlie. Julian Assange might be extradited back to America anytime soon. Gabriel Shipton joins us. Gabriel, there's a fair amount of chatter, and there has been over the last couple of years, around the connection with WikiLeaks and Seth Rich. I want to play Cut 36 and dive into this with you. Play Cut 36.
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old, works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
that was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
what are you suggesting? What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
So, Gabriel, your reaction to that?
Well, I think it's a very, that I think that's that story and that whole leak, that period in 2016, those leaks around the DNC, around Hillary Clinton and her campaign, those leaks really upset a lot of people and really put some very powerful people, powerful forces under the microscope and exposed exactly what they got up to, in terms of, essentially taking over the Democratic National Committee, using it for their own personal gain, rigging the system, rigging the nomination system with inside the committee. And there was actually physics, you know, we hear these days, oh, it's happening. You know, we understand that, you know, Biden's not allowing debates or they're not having debates with Democratic candidates. It was actual physical proof, physical emails from inside the Democratic National Committee that just laid it all out. You know, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. You know, we're going to, you know, attack Bernie Sanders with these, you know, these tropes, you know, the Bernie boys and all these sorts of things, and push President Trump forward, push Trump forward as a Piper candidate. You know, the DNC actually thought that Hillary would perform better against Donald Trump. And so they started promoting Donald Trump, and look exactly where they got them. And I think exposing those forces for what they are is very dangerous. And it is exactly why, you know, Julian Assange is in prison. It's exactly why people like Chelsea Manning serve 7 years in prison. I don't want to comment on any sources. You know, as Julian was saying, you know, sources take great risks. They put themselves in harm's way. They are very courageous, and you know, the people they expose come after them. And I think, you know, we've seen that time and time again. But I can't really comment on, you know, the sources of those DNC leaks, other than that there is proof, physical proof, that they were exfiltrated and not hacked. It was not a Russian hack. That totally is total bogus, you know, a bogus story. And there is physical evidence, you know, proven by Bill Binney, that these emails were downloaded by a source and not from a hack.
Talk about, what is this doing to your family?
Well, this is really, I mean, it's pulled our family apart. Charlie, as you know, like my brother lives in the United Kingdom now in a prison. That's his home. He's, you know, we're not able to see him. We're in Australia. He has two small children who go and visit him in the prison. You know, that is our normal life now, is Julian being incarcerated or locked up, you know, one way or another. We're all focused on fighting for Julian, supporting him, keeping him alive while he's in prison, as well as advocating for him around the world. We're fully focused on that, and that's our full-time focus now.
How can people help the cause of Julian Assange? What are the action items for our largely American Western audience?
Well, so they can pop on to AssangeDefense.org. That's AssangeDefense.org. Subscribe to the newsletter there. That will keep you updated with all the actions that are going on around the United States. There are Assange groups in, you know, all major cities, even some smaller cities all around the United States that you can join and get involved in. I've traveled to many of these places. I did 60 or so events all around the United States earlier in this year, and met some really great people all, you know, from Nebraska down to Oklahoma, Missouri, everywhere across the US. There are locations where there are groups of Assange supporters. So yeah, join a group, get signed up to the mailing list, AssangeDefense.org. Those are a couple of things that you can get started with.
Very good. Well, Gabriel, thank you so much for your time. Any other action items or ways that people can help?
Contact your representative. I'm always encouraging people to, you know, get involved in the democratic process. It's not enough just to vote once every 4 years. You know, you can lobby your representative as well, your congressperson especially. You know, ring them up, go to see them at their office, bring up this case, bring up Julian's case. You know, it's not only Julian Assange that this is about. This is actually a threat to the First Amendment. This is creating this walled garden around the First Amendment, around your right to know what your government does in your name. And I think taking those concerns to your elected representative is essential as well.
Very good. Gabriel, thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.